that baby Jesus in the manger is also our eternal Creator and Redeemer, who came that we might have life forever in His name.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
You know, there are many traditions, some good and some not so good, but many traditions that have become associated with the Christmas celebration over the years. But the heart of Christmas has always been about the baby in the manger, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, this baby who would grow up to become a man and give his life for us, to give his life on the cross in order that we might live, have eternal life in him, in his name. And as incredible as it is for us to contemplate, that baby Jesus in the manger is also our eternal Creator and Redeemer, who came that we might have life forever in his name. In the Gospel of John, John the Apostle, John had been a disciple of Jesus. He had spent those 3.5 years following him. He was a witness to the crucifixion, and he was a witness to the resurrection. And then he was a witness for the rest of his life to the good news of hope that's found in Jesus Christ. And this is what he said when composing his gospel, his good news story about Jesus. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus is the Word. That baby in the manger is the Word. And what do we mean when we say he is the Word? Well, if we want to express ourselves to one another, there are a variety of ways that we can express ourselves, right? If we wanted to reveal something about us to another, one of the easiest ways that we can communicate or reveal ourselves is through the power of what?
Speech
through words. And so when John tells us that Jesus is the Word, it means he is the expression of God. He is the revelation of God to us. Now, there's some other reasons why he chose that word, logos, some philosophical arguments. How many of you like to hear the philosophical reasons for why he chose that word? No, well, that's another time. But the point is it connected. It connected with his audience. Whether it was a Jewish audience that understood this Word of God, the expression of God, they knew all about the Word of God. Their scriptures were the Word of God. And now the scriptures had come alive in the person of a man, the God-man. They understood that expression of God in the Word. But to the Greek mindset, the philosophers, that Word was an organizing principle. It was the logic and reason that organizes the universe. And that certainly describes God as well, doesn't it? So the Word, Jesus, the Son of God, was in the beginning. There never was a time when he didn't exist, because he is eternal. He was with God and he was God. How can you be with God and be God? Of course, we all know, I'm sure we all understand perfectly the doctrine of the Trinity, don't we? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, we've been taught that, and that's true from the Scriptures, but I don't think any of us can ever fully grasp that, how he was with God and he was God, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning. He was with God. He was God, and he created all things. The baby created all things. Hard to believe, isn't that? This is what Not anything, anything and everything that has been made was made, and nothing that has been made was made apart from Him. He is the Creator, and He was life. He was life. What is it that brings life, that living, breathing soul and being into existence? That's God's own life, and He is life. He is the life that we know right now, what we call life, but He is much, much more than that. He is eternal life, eternal life. And He was light. He is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Is this world a dark place, do you think? It certainly is, isn't it? The days are shorter. I heard that. Actually, the days are getting longer. Well, the days have always been the same, but the number of hours of daylight is more. And in fact, we're 3 days into longer hours of daylight. You happy about that? Isn't that good news? But He is the light that shines in the darkness. He is the moral light, goodness, and truth that shines in the moral darkness of our world. So this baby in the manger was with God and is God and created all things. He is life, our physical life now, but eternal life forever. And He is the light. He is the moral goodness and holiness that shines in the darkness of our world. And John goes on to tell us about another man named John. This John we know as John the Baptist. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He, this true light, Jesus, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the word Jesus, He was witnessed to by John the Baptist. He was not known by the world. Imagine that the Creator comes into the world, and the world doesn't even recognize its own Creator. He was in the world, but the world did not recognize Him. It did not know Him. He came to His own people. He came for all people. But He was born among and came first to His own people, the Jews. But He was rejected by His own, rejected by them, rejected by most of us, wasn't He? But whoever did receive Him, that is, believed in Him, put trust and confidence in Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to be born into a new family, another family, the family of God, and this through faith. It's not by blood, it's not by the will of a man or a woman, but of God, a new birth by faith. This He gave to all who received Him. And finally, then, John tells us this. He says, and the Word, the Son of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, John, his personal eyewitness testimony here, he and the others with him. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. So Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. The Son of God left His glory, His glorious throne, and humbled Himself, coming into our world, being made like one of us. Now, I don't know about you, and you think, boy, if God is going to leave His glory behind, come into the world, be made as one of us, be made human, wouldn't you think, I would think, right, that He would come into the world in the best of circumstances, fit for a king, right? Because He is the King. He's the King of the universe. And He would be a great and glorious man who would be acknowledged by all as God. And one day He will be acknowledged by all. But that first time, though, when He came to a lowly couple from a despised little town called Nazareth. And they had to travel to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus had ordered a census and they were forced to return to Bethlehem, their ancestral hometown. And there, so He was born into this family, a very poor family. In fact, they didn't even have a hotel room for the night. He was born in a barn, a stable, and placed in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Now that's humility, isn't it? So He humbled Himself by how He came in. He humbled Himself in the way He lived. But oh, did He humble Himself by submitting to death, and not just any death, but death on a cross. It's been said that crucifixion is one of the worst ways you can die. And that was what He submitted to. But it wasn't just the physical pain of the cross He endured for us. It was when He was on the cross, and the Scripture says that the price or the penalty for our sin, for our rebellion against God, the source of all the darkness in the world, when the punishment for that was placed upon Him in order that you and I would not have to bear that punishment. That's humility. And that is love. That is mercy. And that is grace. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. And He is glorious. He is full of grace and truth. He has given us grace upon grace. And He has made God known to us. The invisible God has been made known to us by the visible Jesus Christ. See, this is the Word. And when the Scripture says the Word was made flesh, He was made flesh in that little stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And so I would remind us then again that the baby of Bethlehem isn't just a subject of Christmas carols, but rather He is our eternal Creator and Redeemer who came in order that we might have life forever in His name. And that's received by faith, by acknowledging Him for who He is, and saying yes to His gift of life through faith, turning from our darkness, our sin, thanking Him for dying for that, putting our trust and confidence in Him, receiving eternal life then, forgiveness and eternal life in His name. So if you have that eternal life, celebrate tonight. If you don't, it's the greatest Christmas gift ever. We had that on our sign earlier this week. Jesus is the greatest gift ever given, isn't He? Receive that by faith. And if you have that, celebrate. Celebrate and give thanks for that life that you have in Him. Now, as I said at the beginning, there are many traditions that have become associated with Christmas. But the most important thing for us to remember, though, and for us to celebrate, is that greatest gift of all, the gift of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, who is the most precious gift and wonderful gift ever given. God, as we are gathered here tonight with family members as a church family, we give praise and thanks to you, Lord Jesus, for humbling yourself and coming into our world, being made like one of us, submitting yourself to all of the limitations of being human. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living a life of perfect obedience to the law of God, the requirements of God, in order that we might have holiness and righteousness, a right standing with you by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on that cross, taking the punishment for our sins in order that we might live, have eternal life forever in your presence. Blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. So, Lord Jesus, we celebrate tonight once again as we celebrate and recognize this coming into the world. We don't recognize only the baby in the manger, but we celebrate the man who revealed God to us, who is God, and who gave his life willingly in order that we might live. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.